In our study of Do Not Blame God last Lord's Day, we noted that the old negative atheist argument has come out again as the tragedies are all around, and this is what they would say. A good and all-powerful being would not allow evil and suffering to exist. And the answer to that argument is very simply stated, God is love. 1 John 4:8. Therefore, God allows us to live, to have life, and thus we're able to choose to do His will or not do His will. And when we choose not to do the will of God, when we disobey God's law, yes, evil and suffering are present. But the argument is defeated, is it not? Well, yes, it is. And I thought this morning, since we're noticing, of course, we should notice this, that there is a decline of religious people now in our country. This is ongoing. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. But let me give you an example in a recent article. Well, it's March 2021. The portion of Americans who consider themselves members of a church, synagogue, or mosque has dropped below 50%, according to a poll from Gallup released Monday. And it's the first time that that has happened since Gallup first asked the question in 1937, when church membership was 73%. So notice that includes those that would call themselves Christians, those that are Jews, and those that are Muslims. And so below 50%, even of all those three. And the number of people now claiming no religion at all is climbing. And even atheists, yes, that say they know for sure that God does not exist, that has increased in our country, sad to say. So with this in mind, I thought we would make this statement. To deny God is to deny other things as well. Yes, to be consistent, when a person denies God, he must also deny many other things. And we want to study those other things as we'll begin our sermon in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, and we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. As we worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And something else to mention, as we're, again, going to be glad to have you join us, but also if you would like to study the Bible, we look forward to those opportunities. And, of course, if you have Bible questions, feel free to ask. Your comments, positive or negative, they're welcome as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. To deny God is to deny other things as well, if you're going to be consistent. And I think a good verse to start with would be Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now that's what the Bible says about one who says there is no God. That's right. They're a fool. So now as we study this together, and hopefully young people will have an opportunity to know about these things. If they're not listening to the program, I hope you will convey them to your children and grandchildren and to all who will listen for that matter. So let us begin. To deny God is to deny design. Without God, there would be no design. There would be no order, because you must have a designer to have design. If you have a shirt, blouse on, pants, dress, whatever, does it not appear to be designed? Of course it does. So there was someone that designed it. And that should be obvious. And when you have order, you go into a room and everything is in its place. Somebody had to put it that way. That's right. And so here we have a universe with order. It has design. Therefore, there had to be a designer. And that would be God. Now, let me ask this question. How do we determine design? Well, an improbable object. Yes, something that's not going to just appear over a period of time. It has design. It's an improbable object, and also with a recognizable pattern. As we should know, matter plus energy cannot produce information. It's not going to produce different parts interacting. As you walk along the shoreline and the sand, you see some writing. Someone has written their name, perhaps a heart, you know, with two names in that heart. Well, you know that that's design. It didn't just happen by the tide coming up on the shore and writing that. Of course not. So this is what we're talking about. Cave drawings. You see on the wall of a cave, a big beast, looks like a dinosaur. Well, that didn't happen by chance. That's design, Mount Rushmore. Who's going to think that that just happened by the wind and the weather doing that to the rocks? Of course, we all know it was done by someone. So that's how we determine design. Another point to make here, if you have a farm, you're going to have a farmer, of course. Who was it that built the barn? Who had the crops in the field? Who planted that and so forth? Yes, a farmer. Now, if you have a painting, certainly you had to have a painter. If you have a book, there had to be a writer. These are obvious examples. So, here's the point. If there is a creation, there has to be a creator. True or false? We all need to say true. To deny God is to deny design. In Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can't miss it. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look out the window and look at the beautiful trees. I'm looking at beautiful flowers. Yes, and you see a butterfly perhaps going by. Design, everywhere you look, you can't miss it. And so they are without excuse. Now, the universe obviously has design. The order, as you have the earth in a proper place, with the moon in the proper place, and the sun were just the right distance, and all those things we could talk about, That's saying that God designed it that way. He created it. Notice in Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." All of us should know that the universe is fine-tuned. We have the study of mathematics, physics, because the universe is fine-tuned. There's consonants, you see. And we could talk about gravity, the law of gravity. You see, there's laws that are governing. Yes, in nature, they would say. Well, it's because God tuned it that way. He designed it that way. Notice Isaiah 45:18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited." Notice that. He formed it to be inhabited. "I am the Lord and there is none else." I wouldn't want to go to the moon. No. I wouldn't want to go to some other planet. There are those that like to do that, yes, and they explore and all that, but are they going to live there? Well, if they did, they'd have to have a bubble and have the oxygen and everything just right in that bubble and hope there's never an accident. Do you know of any other planets that are designed for life? No, I don't know of any. They're trying to find them, but so far they haven't. And I think they're wasting a lot of money. That's my opinion. But the point is, God formed the earth to be inhabited. It's designed that way. Has all the things we need. The beautiful scenery is throughout the world. This beauty can be observed as we have five senses. Yes, we can hear the birds. We can see the beauty with our eyes if we have good eyesight. What a tragedy it is to lose that. We're able to speak and use our voices. Perhaps some of you are talented with your singing ability, and that's a pleasure to listen to. Yes, all what we smell, the beautiful flowers, yes, have a smell. The aromas, yes, we enjoy that. To be able to touch and feel the texture. You see, all our five senses are involved in appreciating the beauty. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork," Psalm 19:1. Now, we're talking about design. To deny God is to deny design. Our bodies are an excellent example of design. Let's look at the human brain. Compare that with a well-designed computer. You know that computer's designed. Yes, it was designed. Of course it was. So would we say the human brain is not designed? It just came about by chance. I can remember what paste smelled like in grade school. And you probably can remember things back in your childhood and what they smell like. It's still in our minds. That old mimeograph machine that had the purple on the paper. I remember that smell. Well, that's design, to have a brain that can remember all those things way back there, even what it smelled like. And information that we have stored, and something happens and boom, out comes that file in our brain. Well, here's the point. How can evolutionists bridge the gap between the realm of hard objects and the realm of ideas and concepts? Yes, our brain is able to come up with ideas and concepts. How did it happen? Evolution, they say. Well, that doesn't explain the gap. That doesn't bridge the gap. Of course not. And it's just a hypothesis. It's not provable. It never will be, for that matter. Now, God, who is all wise and knowing, gave us a mind capable of reasoning. Yes, we can reason in our minds, and we can learn a language, even separate from the one that we grew up learning. But we're able to do that because God gave us this mind. Information implies intelligence. Therefore, intelligence which comes from being created in the image of God bridges the gap. You know, in our schools, our universities, why is it that they don't want to talk about intelligent design? That's not teaching religion. It's just simply stating that there is design in the universe and it's intelligent. Well, of course, that implies that there was an intelligent being that created this design, that gave it design. But they don't like that. And why? Well, we have an adversary. He's able to utilize those folks who are denying God's existence. And thus, they want to force on our children that this is the only way to think, that we're evolved from lower species. Well, we can't prove it. We have assumptions. We call it fact. That's what they do. But let's not talk about the other side, the other possibility. No, we don't want to do that. Well, you see what's going on, and you see what's happening to our children, our grandchildren. We need to be preaching and teaching this. To deny God is to deny design. Now let's take a living cell and compare that with a chemical factory. Hundreds of chemical reactions are going on simultaneously. They are subdivided compartments in the living cell as in a chemical factory. You have little transporters taking this over here and connecting it, and then you see how the DNA is wrapped and all that, and it's not a simple thing. No, it's complex, and that's design. Let's take the human eye and compare it with a well-designed camera. We have an eyelid, like the camera has a lens cover. Yes, in our eye, there's a lens. If you get older and your lens gets cloudy, that's a cataract. Needs to be removed sometimes and replaced. What about the iris, which opens and grow, you know, cuts the light down when it constricts? Well, that's like the shutter on the camera. Your camera has film. We have a retina where the light hits. Now, does anybody want to exchange their human eye for a well-designed camera? I don't think so. Well, is not the eye better designed than the camera? Of course it is. And that's the point we're making here. And if you deny God, you're denying design. But let's go on. To deny God is to deny the laws of science. All true scientists would agree to this statement. Every effect must have an adequate cause. For example, Hebrews 3 verse 4. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Yes, this church building that I'm sitting in was built by someone, some more than likely some people. Yes, as it has, it has design, as we just talked about, but it's also an effect. Yes, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So the point is this: everything built or created must have a builder or a creator. Now, every effect must have an adequate cause. So we see this object. It's moving. Yes, and we're not seeing what caused it to move, but we know that something caused it to move. And we could conclude that whatever caused it to move was an adequate cause to make the object move. For example, you see a ball rolling across the floor. Someone caused that ball to roll, or either there was a tremor and shook the house, and a lot of things are moving. But that was the adequate cause. Now you see a little gnat going by. That wasn't an adequate cause to do that. So this is what we're talking about. So here we have a universe and you have motion. The earth is rotating on its axis. It's in an orbit around the sun. The sun itself is in an orbit. The Bible also said that, yes. But notice, all this motion, what was the adequate cause? If you say the Big Bang, the explosions don't create order. No, they create destruction, disorder. We have order and we have this precise motion. There has to be an adequate cause and we all should know the answer. It's God. And let me state this very emphatically. Without God, there would be no laws of science. The Bible does not contradict true science, but false science. It's called science, but it's falsely called science a number of times. 1 Timothy 6:20 deals with that. Yes. So we need to understand scientists can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. Now I want us to note the very first verse of the Bible, because we're talking about to deny God is to deny the laws of science. And here in the first verse of God's Word, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here you have the five manifestations of the physical realities. Yes, this is science. In the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, time, God, force, created, energy, the heaven, space, and yes, matter, the earth. There it is. Now, let's talk about the law of biology, which states every seed produces after its own kind, just like it was in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 11, 12, 21, 24, 25, after his, after their kind, nine times. That's right. The Bible is always right. And this is a law of biology that's going right along with what was in Genesis chapter 1. Now, let's note the first law of thermodynamics, heat and power, energy. This says, this first law of thermodynamics says matter is neither being created or destroyed. That's right. And this is Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. You're not going to create matter, but you can't destroy it either. Now you can put wood in the fireplace and burn it, but you've got ashes. You haven't destroyed the matter, but you've used energy. And that brings us to the second law of thermodynamics, also called entropy. And it says energy is being depleted. Just like that wood in the fireplace. You use the energy. It's used up. So the earth is winding down. That's this second law of thermodynamics. Again, to deny God is to deny the laws of science. Now, let me give some examples how the earth is winding down. The sun is shrinking in size. Yes, it's, and the magnetic field is shrinking in strength. The gases in the atmosphere, they're decreasing and so forth. Now notice Psalm 102, 25 through 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Notice the earth is waxing old like a garment. Things are winding down. If matter was eternal, you would have an even plane. It would stay level, you see. But no, it's not. It's declining, just as the Bible says. And since matter cannot be eternal, as we've just proven, not only is that seen with the examples, but by the Word of God. And so this is the laws of science and the Word of God together showing that matter cannot be eternal. So then let's study the following logical argument. Premise number one, something cannot come from nothing. Now everybody should agree with that. You cannot have something come out of nothing. That's not possible. We all should see that. That's true. Something cannot come from nothing. Premise number two, something exists. Well, I'm sitting in front of my computer. My Bible is to the side here. There's a light, there's a phone on the desk, and so forth. And here I am. We exist. And everybody should agree with that. Something exists. Okay, what's our conclusion? Since something cannot come from nothing, something does exist, yes. Therefore, here's our conclusion. Something, or let me add this, someone, something or someone has always existed. And we all should know the answer. It is God. God is eternal. Deuteronomy 33, 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Also Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now that's science, isn't it? That something has always existed. Has to. Now, well, let's make another point with real quickly. Our time is getting away. Medical science would certainly tell us that the body must have an exchange of oxygen in the lungs to the blood and then to the body every 5 seconds, or we're going to die. Now, God made us this way. We could not survive evolution. That's impossible. What good is a heart that's not fully evolved? What good is an eye without the parts working together? It doesn't work. That's the point. Thus, evolution is false. Creation is true, and God has created us this way. And we could talk about the systems that are in our bodies. Boy, they work real good if we're in good health, and we need to appreciate that. And we need to appreciate that God is our creator and he does exist. But if you're going to deny God, you're going to have to deny many other things. And we're just beginning. We've just discussed to deny God is to deny design. To deny God is to deny the laws of science. We'll have to put a peg here. We want to pick back up, Lord willing, next week with other things one must deny in order to be consistent. But we stand ready now to assist you in studying further. And certainly, if you're ready to obey the gospel, we'll be glad to immerse you in the watery grave of baptism to contact the precious blood of Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.